Proverbs chapter 18, look at, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 28. Did I say chapter 18? 28 verse 18, how's that sound? Proverbs 28 verse number 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. When they perish, the righteous increase. Now, I'm going to catch you up. This is week three on the recipe for biblical finances. Said, first of all, money is not supposed to be a god to us. Money is not to be the sole purpose of our living. We all need money by which to live. I get that. But may I say this, green paper makes a pretty lousy god.
Right.
It really does. And I don't mean this the wrong way, but what money buys makes a pretty bad god too, because it ends up giving out or dying or falling apart eventually anyway. So God knows how important money is, but God also knows how powerful money can be. Unless you've been around extremely wealthy people, you don't understand the power of money. But money has power. Isn't it interesting that most people in power have a lot of money? The two go together. Now, money is by far the biggest stressor in a home or marriage. Churches these days have financial seminars to get their people out of debt so they can give more money to their church. I'm not interested in you giving more money to the church. I'm interested in you getting biblical finances. Get your finances working right so God can bless you, and God will take care of the church because of that. I really believe that. I've said this before. If you're tithing, I'd like you to double your tithe without giving an extra penny. Say, well, how do I do that, preacher? Go out and get somebody else, bring them to church, and teach them to tithe. That would be the greatest way to learn tithing you could ever learn, I promise you. Now, I would rather you obey God and see his hand of blessing because of your finances than to have a lot of money. I am not telling you you're going to have a lot of money if you live scripturally, but it will tell you this, you'll live comfortably and happily. You really will. Now, God, by the way, don't you think God knows better how to live on finances than we do? Don't you think the God that created everything has the wherewithal to help us live financially right? Then I gave you, there's eight things in this chapter. I'll list these eight things. These are the eight ingredients, and then I'll pick up. We're going to be on number five tonight. We've done the first four, then we're going to do the last four tonight. You ready? Number one, walk uprightly. Number two, till the land. Number three, be faithful. Number four, don't mooch or beg for money. Walking uprightly means being integritous. It means having a plan. It means living by a budget, so to speak. Then God says that we're to till the land. That means this, you're to work things, but when you till the land, you don't harvest the same day.
Right.
When you plow a field, you don't harvest the crop that week. It takes months. Sometimes 6 or 7 or 8 months. When you're tilling for money, it takes a long time. Be patient with your finances. Number three, need to be faithful. We talked about what that meant as well. Number four, not mooching for money, not getting close to people, being a respecter of persons, not trying to get around somebody that's rich so maybe some of the money falls out of their pocket into yours. It has nothing to do with that at all, and I don't have much use for that. So that leads us to number five. Tonight, number five, God wants us not to get involved in what I call quick wealth, all right? Don't get involved in quick wealth. Look at verse number 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. The word hasteth, the word hasty, it means to hurry up. In other words, be careful of get-rich-quick schemes. Be careful of being able to get quick cash at 35% interest. You can get all the quick money you want, but you're not going to get rich with quick money. Gambling is not quick money. It's quick losing. Everybody doing okay? Gambling is not wise financially. Did you know that? Fast money usually only profits the one handing it out. Let me say that again. Fast money usually only profits the one that's handing you the money quickly. There's very high interest. The Bible would use the word usury with it. And by the way, usury is not just interest. God never said don't borrow money. He said usury. Usury is an unjust amount of interest paid. It means something that's risky to the borrower. If you have done so much on your credit cards that you got to have so much money and you got to go get a quick loan on your vehicle, but you're going to pay 25, 28% interest on that money and got to pay it back real fast, you're in trouble. Say, preacher, somebody wouldn't do that. Right. Come to my office, I'll protect the innocent or protect the guilty so that they aren't. You don't realize these get-rich-quick schemes. You know, that's kind of like lose weight fast. It's not going to work, all right? If it goes off fast, it's going to get put back on fast. And I don't know how else to say this, folks. I love you, but playing the credit card game is dangerous. You say, what's playing the credit card game? You have five credit cards. You've got them all maxed out. You get a sixth one to pay the minimum payments on these and keep racking that one up just to keep those going. Then when that one fills up, you got to go get another one. If you are living credit card to credit card to credit card, you are in danger and need help, and you are not a financial mogul. I'm going to say this about credit cards. I don't think many people can survive without one, but you can. Today's society is moving to where it's difficult to, but you still can. But I will say this, if you have one, get one that's no interest. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher, I couldn't do that. My credit rating is too bad. You're who I'm talking to. You can still get them. I would do this. I'd never get a credit card that has an annual fee. I refuse to. If you have a credit card, the goal of it ought to be to pay it off every month. If you can't pay it off every month, don't have it. Am I doing all right? If I travel, I use mine. Now, I believe there's nothing wrong with this. If the system is there, I say use it. Sometimes you can find credit cards I'll use the term pay you back a little bit. For instance, I carry in my wallet, recently I just switched over to this, I carry a Cabela's card. Say why? Because I pay almost all of our stuff on Cabela's and I get points for it. And as I earn points for it, when I need hunting gear and stuff, I can go to Cabela's and I can get it for nearly free. Say, how? Because I wait till I have enough on there so I can get it for nearly free. You say, preacher, I'm using, by the way, I pay it off every month. I don't ever have a balance. I don't have to pay interest on it. I don't pay an annual fee for it. My wife does groceries. We do our gas. We do just about everything on that. And we write one check at the end of the month, pay it off, we're done. Boom. Start the next month. But I make sure that we're deleting it in our account as we go through so I don't get to the end of the month saying, ooh, what happened here? I keep it like a checkbook. I know some of you, that's foreign. You don't know what a checkbook is. All right? That's why you count on your phone and your computer to do your finances, and you're screwed up in debt right now. Put it on paper. I'm a firm believer in keeping finances on paper. You can get mad at me all you want. Well, you just need to come into the right century. I'm in the right century. How's your credit card debt compared to mine? By the way, we've all been through some tight times. I get that. But I'll guarantee we probably get 3 to 5 credit card offers every month or every week. See why? Because our credit rating is so high that everybody wants me to go to their credit card. I'm happy where I'm at. Just I don't open them. I just throw them in the trash, throw them in the trash. I've got what I need. I've helped young people learn how to build up their credit. I think you can get a credit card, pay your fuel bill, but reduce it out of your checking account somehow, and at the end of the month, you write your check for it, boom, there you go. Do that for several months. Start building some credit. You can't buy a house with no credit. Right. You've got to build some credit. I understand things have changed in the last 30, 40 years. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years, and I get that. So I understand the need for building credit and having a good credit rating. Trust me. Everybody doing okay? I love you. But if you can't pay it off every month, you're in trouble. If you have multiple credit cards and you're having trouble paying them off, come see me. I'll teach you how to pay them off and get out of debt within probably 12 to 18 months. Seriously. And I've helped a lot of people with it. Find 0% interest cards. Some people have, I'll use United Airlines. I did a lot of travel arrangements for a preacher that I worked for. I did about close to $1 million of travel or $1 million worth of travel on his United card. I tracked it all, kept track of it. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of miles he had racked up because I got him a United card, so every dollar he spent on that, he got mileage for it. He had free tickets every year. And he flew all over the place for free with his family and different things. And by the way, that's what it was for. I had it earning money for him, but it got paid off every month. There was never a balance to it. Does that make sense to everybody? If you keep a card that way, by the way, it's good on your credit score. Just so you know. Now, I say that to say this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. This one's going to twist somebody's tail. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. Let's start back at verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, that means they advertise to you or they're tempting you, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as whole as those that go down into the pit. Watch this. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Now look at me. That is a warning not to go into socialism and communism. Let us all have one purse. Let's all send it to the government, and the government gives us what they want us to have. That's not going to twist you as bad as this one is. Everybody ready? God says don't do that with religious finances either. The Southern Baptist Convention, Northern Baptist Convention, American Baptist Convention, Catholics, the United Methodists, you name it, they all have their headquarters. And if you're a part of those mainline denominations, you take your offerings, you send them to corporate, they send you back what you need. Scripturally, I cannot participate in that. It is anti-Bible to pool our monies together. Say, why do they do that? Because that's how, everybody doing all right? This is how the Catholic Church buys billions and billions of dollars in property around the world. This is how many of these Southern Baptist universities have so much money. And then they make money on their college. And I'm talking about Baylor. I'm talking about some of the, everybody doing okay? the Demon Deacons. Which one's that? North? What is it? That's it, Wake Forest. Those are all Southern Baptist colleges. And by the way, taking government money, putting it right into the church coffers of the Southern Baptist Convention. Danger, Will Robinson. The cooperative program for religious purposes is wrong scripturally. We are an independent Baptist church. Amen. Our finances stay in-house. Well, they don't stay in the building. We send it to the bank, but we don't break in the church, all right? You're not going to get anything except an alarm, all right? And maybe the wrong end of a gun, all right? So don't break in, but we are not supposed to take our money and send it to a headquarters somewhere, or take a percentage of ours and send to a headquarters to take care of their needs. That's how these fat cats run around with million-dollar salaries. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Everybody look at me. If you have a debt to pay, don't get mad when they expect you to make the payment.
Amen. That's
right. Well, I came up on a hard time. They wouldn't give in. You're the one that made the debt, not them. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Be careful lending money. I learned a long time ago. My daddy taught me, don't lend anything you can't afford to lose.
That's right.
Be careful. Well, if somebody would pay me. Now, wait a minute. Make sure that any debt you have is low interest as you can get it. It amazes me how many people just go out and get whatever interest rate there is and don't negotiate. If you aren't if you haven't renegotiated a home mortgage loan right now, you need to.
Amen.
The rates are unbelievably low. I won't ask you, but I know this. I know people that are getting mortgages at 2.5%, 3%. Now, if you're down in that 3 or under 4, it might be a little riskier for you, but there are people in this room, I'm sure there's somebody sitting here that's got a mortgage rate right now, 6, 7, 8%. And I'll guarantee it, because I just know how people just don't check it. It is so low, right? It's historically low right now. It would behoove you to look into it. It might cost you a few thousand dollars up front, but it'll probably save you tens of, if not $100,000 on your loan.
Amen.
Same thing on car loans. You can get 0% interest car loans. Sometimes that's better than getting extra money back as a cash rebate. Careful of cash rebates. Check it out compared to how much you save in interest. Compounding interest is more than rebate usually. And by the way, there's a difference between bad debt and good debt. You need a car. Now, it doesn't mean a 20-year-old needs to drive around in a Lincoln Town Car or something. All right, you don't need to go out and buy a $70,000 truck. If you're retired and have the money to do that, do me a favor. Buy an extra one. I'm teasing. What I'm saying is there are people at a certain age bracket and financial bracket that can handle that, and it's no problem. Young people, us old people make it look easy. Don't try. I tell young people this, newly marrieds this all the time, and college age kids. Do not try to live now at the financial level your parents are in their 40s and 50s. Live like they did when they were in their teens and 20s. Big difference. Those of you in your 40s, don't try to live like your parents in their 70s or so. You still got a ways to go till you get there. Their mortgages are paid off. Yours is still hanging on. So just be patient and understand that. Everybody doing okay? All right, I got to hurry up here. Number 6, don't steal from your parents. Look at verse number 24, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. Say, what's that mean? Quit taking your parents' retirement money. Well, it's just my mom and dad. They gave me a loan, but I don't have to pay it back. God pity your soul. And parents, if you have children like that, do me a favor. Don't loan them money. You say, why? Because you're destroying their character. Everybody doing all right? The word rob is an interesting word. It doesn't mean steal. It literally means to take by force or by threat. It's holding a knife or a gun to their head saying, give it to me or else. God says, don't rob from your parents. Can I tell you something? You have no right to make someone loan you money just because they share your last name. Everybody doing okay? And parents, you don't have to feel obligated to loan your children money. Just because they have your last name doesn't mean you got to loan them money. Boy, that didn't go over so well. Your lack of character and bad decisions are not someone else's responsibility to finance. Please don't get mad at me, but getting your parents to rear your kids is robbing your parents of their senior years. Holding parents hostage, saying they will never see their grandkids if you don't do what they want, is robbing your parents. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, still in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice that's to young people. Children, obey. Then it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Did you know that obedience and honor are two totally different things? I am 53 years old. My dad is none of your business how old. Because I like to keep him on my side for a while. My dad is older than I. He's in his senior years. All right? But wait a minute. Did you know I no longer have to obey my daddy? But I am supposed to honor my dad. Say, how do you honor him? Do you know what the word honor even means? The word honor means to make something bigger. In other words, I'm to take what he taught me and make it bigger and teach it to him. And teach it to her. And teach it to you. I am to take what I've been given and make it bigger so that the next generation can take it and honor by making it bigger. Amen. It's not destroying, it's not spending, it's making it bigger. That's what honor is all about. Number 7. You didn't think I could get through one that fast, did you? Look at verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Are you ready? The Bible says here, You're supposed to curb your desires and your wants. That means put a lock on your wants and your desires. Say why? Don't trust your sinful pride to say that you deserve something. Well, I've arrived, preacher. My Bible says that he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The world will tell you, follow your heart. God says, that's being a fool. I don't know about you, but my heart could have led me the wrong direction many a time. How about you? Man, I've fallen in love with a lot of cars I shouldn't have bought. Y'all right, fellas? Man, I've seen many of cars that, man, if I followed my heart, last time I went to buy a car I have now, walked in the showroom, and boy, there sat a nice Mustang. I looked at the sticker price. Thought, I might be able to do this. It wasn't a GT500 or anything. It was a stripped-down model, but I could still feel pretty cool in it. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I wouldn't even sit in it. I didn't go near it. I didn't open the door. I didn't even kick the tires on it. Say, why? Because I'd have got in it and walked out with it. Ain't no way I was even going to sit in it. Say, why? Because I know what my heart wanted, but that's not what I needed. I'd already decided what I needed, not what I wanted. Everybody doing okay? Would it be sinful? No. But it wouldn't be wise. I can't get Miss Wally in and I have a two-door Mustang. I mean, come on. I'd have had to put that seat forward and shove my wife back there or something, you know? It just wasn't going to happen. If I'd have got the convertible, I could have thrown her over the top or something, but I couldn't do that. Now, wait a minute. Don't just follow your heart or your desires. In other words, don't follow your emotion. Do not buy by emotion. Amen. Men and women. I find men spend by emotion worse than women do. They see the new gun, they see the new this, they see the new that, they've got to have this car, they've got to have this tool, they've got to have this new thing, they've got to have the latest gadget or tech thing. Can I tell you something? Just because iPhone puts another one out doesn't mean you have to have it. Because the last six you got, you just had to have too. Can I tell you a good way to curb your wants? Make your wants cash only. Save up enough money on your own that you allow yourself every week by budget to buy it. Ouch. Boy, that one hurt, didn't it? Sorry. I give myself just under $20 a week for spending money. Now, wait a minute. My wife says, what do you do with your cash? I said, I spend it when I get what I want. I have money there. Usually, I'm giving it away or helping somebody else with it or whatever. You say, why? Because that's what I want to do with it. If I wanted to go get a new gun, I would be saving it up week after week after week after week after week, putting it away. Or it's in the budget there to do it, and we do it. But most of the time, it's because I put it away, not because, well, I just got to go get one. I have several guns. I've only bought, I think, two. Most of them have been given to me. Now, I've bought and sold and traded a few pistols here and there and moved up as I did it, but I didn't buy the top of the line starting off because I couldn't afford it. I still can't. But I've got what I need, what I want for the rest of the time. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Plan your projects and shop for good deals. You know, the best time to buy summertime products is at the end of summer and do your project next summer. Some of you are paying through the nose to do something this summer that if you'd wait till summer's over, you could pay half price for it, wait till spring and start it and get it done. Or do it this fall. Moving on. Learn to use coupons. Next, most everything in life is not an emergency. It can wait. Very few things in life are an emergency. Dunkin' Donuts is not an emergency. Hate to disappoint you. You might think it is, but it's not. Sheets is not an emergency, and God knows McDonald's will take you to the emergency room. Lord have mercy. Okay, let me give you another way to save money and curb your desires. Learn to take vacations at off-peak times. Man, some of you could have a much better vacation if you took it at a different time of the year. You could afford to do more things at an off-peak time. I know something about air travel. I've only done about $1.5 million air travel dollars worth of booking in my life. You can buy airline tickets Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning before 7 a.m. cheaper than at any other time. If you travel on a Tuesday and a Thursday, travel's cheaper than it is on Monday and Friday. Monday, Friday's business travel. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is casual travel. And if you plan your schedules around those things, you can save a lot of money in airline. And by the way, sometimes it's cheaper to fly than it is to drive. My wife and I flew back and forth to Atlanta for Michael and his ordination. I think we paid $200 total round trip for both of us. And we were down there several days. Now, wait a minute. You think about driving 10 and a half, 11 hours each way. Yeah, you might have gotten it a little bit better, but you'd also had two extra days of travel and been dead on two of those days. So it was more cost efficient and easier on my body to do it this way. I was looking online the other day. I could fly from here to Maine for $39 one way. That was tempting. I don't know what I'd do there, but it was tempting. I'm teasing. I wouldn't fly to Maine. I'd be taking my gun, and boy, that's too much hassle, all right? But learn to the most expensive times to avoid places, peak times, and go at off-peak times. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Learn that most expensive isn't always best. You'd be shocked how many people pay more money for a label and the cheap stuff's made in the same factory on the same machine at the same time. They just put a different label on it.
Yep.
I hate to disappoint you. Okay, you're not going to like this one. Learn to wait 3 to 6 months for your wants. If you want something, wait 3 to 6 months before you even think about doing it. Because probably in 3 to 6 months, you won't want it anymore. And if you don't want it after 3 to 6 months, you really didn't need it anyway. Shop at thrift stores. What's that place in? Yeah, Act Two, Salvation Army, Goodwill. I got this suit at one of those places. Most of the suits I wear, I've gotten at those places. I say, preacher, you? Yeah. I can pick up a suit for $20. And when you wear them all day, I jumped in this one at a little after 4 o'clock this morning. I haven't had it off since. And when you wear them hard like that, like I do every day, you can't afford $200 and $300 suits. But I can get a $200 or $300 suit for $20. I can buy 10 suits for your one. Number next, and I'll finish with this quickly. Last point, number 8. Look at verse number 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. I believe the Bible teaches that we ought to give to the poor. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse number 17. Uh, Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17. The Bible says this: He that hath pity upon the poor, what's the next word? Lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he giveth will he pay him again. Notice what God says here. When you give to the poor, you are lending to God. The borrower is servant to the lender. And God says, when you give to the poor, he will repay with interest. He's going to repay you yet again. So in other words, when you give to help those who need help, guess what? God will in turn pay you again. Those of you that work on the bus route, you help a bus family that needs help. God will pay you in return. He may not give it to you all at one time, but you're going to get it back, trust me. When you lend it, or when you help the poor, you're lending to God. And by the way, God's never late on a payment.
That's
right. Let me put it this way. When you give to missions, you're helping the poor get the gospel. And when you give money to missions and let the poor get the gospel, that's a double portion from God. I believe we ought to give to the poor. Now, I think there's families in our church sometimes that have need. We help them. There was family on the bus route. They lost everything in a fire. We helped them a little bit. Got them going. Thank God for it. That's what it's all about. There's some of you at Thanksgiving time or Christmas time. Maybe we know a family or two that needs some extra help. Hey, you want to help a family? Come see me. I'll help you help them. Say, what is that, preacher? That's helping the poor, lending to God. Now, I love you, but don't give money to somebody that's panhandling on the side of the road.
Amen.
Don't waste your money. I said this a week or so ago. Brother Josh, there's a guy in Lexington, Kentucky that Brother Josh has met the fella and knows of this fella. He drives a Rolls Royce and he begs on the side of the road. The guy makes a bunch of money. He's a lawyer, I think, or something like that. I forget what Brother Fugit told me, but I mean, the guy's got wealth, but he makes a lot of extra side money doing that, doing on the side of the road. You don't know who you're giving to. We'll work for food. Offer them a job and see if they'll jump in.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? I'm going to say this as kindly as I know how. Be careful what charities you give to. There are a lot of worldly charities that donate money to aborting babies. United Way being one of them. I don't know about you. I don't want any of my money going to killing babies. I don't want any of my money going to places where I can't justify the outcome. Be careful. I'm not saying that any giving you do only should be through the church. That is not what I said. But I think you ought to investigate and know where your money is going.
Amen.
I don't think God could honor raising money to abort babies. I don't think he's going to pay that back to you. If somebody where you work, maybe they got hurt or family member was killed and they're raising money for it, that's a worthy cause for the most part. I get that. I have no problem with that. But may I say something? Be careful just what you give your money to. Don't give it to the televangelist. Send it and we'll turn it into seed money and it'll grow. Yeah, it's going to grow your bank account, not yours, the guy you just sent it to. We've got to be wise with our finances. So, biblical finances, God says, first of all, we ought to walk uprightly. Number two, till the land. Number three, be faithful. Number four, don't mooch or beg for money. Number five, no get rich quick schemes. Number six, don't rob your parents. Number seven, curb your wants and your desires. Number eight, help the poor. You want to have good biblical finances? God gave it to you right there. I promise you, if you follow that, If you say, preacher, I don't know how to set up a budget. I don't know how to follow a budget. If I had one set up, come see me. I'll help you. It'll be discreet. Nobody will know. Say, preacher, I'm about ready to declare bankruptcy. Okay, I've helped people through that. You'd be surprised. There's very little you have that I haven't seen. And I've dealt with a lot of it, I think. And I've met with a lot of bankers. I do a lot of higher level business at times. I recently sat with a loan officer, and they were asking about my counseling and things. And they said, well, do you do financial counseling? I said, I do. And they asked me a question. I answered their question. It was about credit card debts and how to get out of debt. I said, this is exactly, most of the time, this is what I will tell somebody. You do this, 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 and this, and you'll get out of debt a whole lot faster. They said, you know, I spent a lot of money to go to college to learn that very thing right there. I said, well, I could have saved you a whole lot of money, and you could have given it to the church. You say, why is that? Because that is biblical financing 101. That's what God says about our finances. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, we've got to get our finances under control. Our finances should not control us. I made a statement last week. We shouldn't get ourselves so strapped that we sell out for money. Don't get so bound by money that you sell out for it.